committed to passing on to the generations that follow us this joy of life in Christ that we're singing about. You know, that's why we're doing what we're doing. It's not good enough for us just to get to heaven, great as that is. But we've got a mission that we've been given to pass on this faith, this life to the generations that follow us, to our neighbors and our friends. I'm honestly saying to somebody yesterday, desperate to see that happening, for us to be a part of that. And I'm thankful for those who have gone before us who have been a part of passing that on to me, to us. We're here celebrated because somebody, somewhere along the line, shared the good news with us. And probably not just one person, but one person to another person through the centuries. And part of what we celebrate here as we think about gathering around the kingdom's table, Jesus' table in the coming kingdom, when we think about that, we think about all those people who have been a part of leading us and others toward that table in God's coming kingdom. That's the great joy that we look forward to. And I desperately want to be a part of passing on that joy to others. I want to see others at the table with us in God's coming kingdom. And I just invite you to be praying for us here at Salem Covenant Church that we'll do everything we can. That we'll use all the gifts that God's given us, the resources, the abilities, the time, that we'll do whatever it takes to pass on this good news, to invite others to this table that we celebrate this morning. It's time for us in today's world, this week, for us more than ever to step up our game, to live as children of God in this world. It's not enough for us just to say thank you. We've got to follow Jesus now into the world. You know the story maybe of Queen Esther. The book Esther in the Bible, John has been teaching on it. And if you don't know, she's teaching a Bible study 10 o'clock on Sundays, on Wednesday mornings, and then at 6:45 in the evening. Both those studies have been growing, more and more people going. I keep hearing from people, man, she's a great teacher. And I'm like, yeah, it's true. Very thankful. And I know they've been talking about Esther recently. And Esther is this woman, a Jewish woman, child of the biblical Hebrew God, who's been kind of living as a Jew under the radar. Her uncle Mordecai told her to keep it quiet about who she really is, her identity as a Jew in this Persian Empire, King Xerxes. She becomes queen, and she keeps it under the radar that she's actually a child of the Hebrew God. Until this time comes when the Persians are going to wipe out all the Jews. And Mordecai, her uncle, comes to her and says, it's time now for you to step up. It's for you. It's time for you now to live as a child of God, to let the king know that you're a Jew, and you have got to work so that the rest of the Jews, including yourself, survive this time. And she responds to him by telling him that it's actually against the law for anybody, including the queen, to come before the king when he hasn't invited you. So this would be incredibly risky for her to go before the king. And Mordecai responds to her by saying this, do not think that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silence at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another quarter, but you and your father's family will perish. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for just such a time as this. I love the way Mordecai says, God's going to work out his purpose whether you live into your identity or not. This is a chance for you to be a part of doing God's work here in the world. But if you don't, it's okay. God's going to work out his good purpose. We can trust him on that. But you'll miss your chance to be a part of it. She says, please gather all the Jews and pray for me for the next 3 days and three nights. Fast and pray for me. And then she says, and after that, I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. She's going to start living now as a child of God. My sense is that that's where we are right now. We've been living under the radar, many of us as Christians. We think that being an American is the same thing as being a Christian. We think that on Tuesday, depending on who's elected, our foundation will just collapse because our foundation is this nation that we live in. We think that Our foundation isn't God. This is what we talked about last week. Remember Psalm 46, we will not fear though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, we will not, what was it?
Fear.
We will not what?
Fear.
Say it with me. We will not fear. Though the earth should change, we will not fear. Though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, we will not fear. Though the nations rage, we will not fear. Our foundation is God. And we, this week, maybe more than many, we got to remember that. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. No matter what's going on in your life personally, no matter what's going on globally, we will not fear. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But it's not enough for us just to sit back and say, okay, I'm safe and secure now. God's my refuge, so I don't have to worry. The world can go and do whatever happens. In today's gospel lesson from Luke chapter 6, we have Jesus gathering his disciples. And Luke tells us whom he also called apostles. Now, the word disciples means coming to learn. Apostles means going to be sent. This is that dual role that we have. We're called to come learn the way of Jesus, and then to go out into the world to live the way of Jesus in the world. To live as children of God in this world, not children of the world. We ought to look a little different on Tuesday than other people. Because we are living with a sense of hope and confidence, whatever's happening here. We're going to live faithfully to God. We're going to live according to God's principles, his purposes in our lives, no matter what anybody else does. We're sent into the world to serve God, to live according to his will, whatever is happening around us. And so as Jesus begins to gather his disciples, whom he also calls apostles, in Luke chapter 6, we come to this place, and Matthew 5 has the same basic marching orders for Jesus' disciples, his apostles. It's called the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. It's called the Sermon on the Plain in Luke. My guess is if they were in the mountains, they probably came to a level place in the mountains. You know, the same basic message. And where Jesus gathered his disciples, both Matthew and Luke tells us early on in his ministry, he wants to lay out for them, here's the direction, here's the way my disciples will live. And so you can imagine, they're coming together, they're listening. And it says in Luke, then he looked up at his disciples and said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be full. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that's what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you've received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that's what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. What's the next one? That's the one I really want us to remember today. Pray for those who abuse you. Pray for those who abuse you. We were talking, Pastor John and I, earlier today about what's coming Tuesday. Anybody know?
Relief.
Yeah, relief. Most of you in the room have already decided on a candidate you're planning on voting for. Some of you have already done that. What I want to invite you to do between now and Tuesday is pray for the other person. Have you been doing that? I want you to pray for the other person. And not just for the other person, but for those other people who are crazy enough to support that other person. We're children of God. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good. And lend expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is a whole different way of life than the world around us. We're called to live as children of our Father. Here in this world, not just in some world yet to come. We want to grow up to be just like Dad. Just like our big brother. That's the image we want to grow into. And I don't know, maybe it's unfortunate and fortunate at the same time. What Jesus gives us here in the Bible as a whole, and certainly in the Sermon on the Plain, the Sermon on the Mount, it's not a playbook that tells us, okay, if the defense is set up this way, you do this. If it's this way, you do this. It doesn't tell us what to do in every situation. But it does tell us the direction in which we're to march, we're to live, we're to grow, we're to lean with our lives. There's a type of ethics Michelle Clifton Soderstrom from North Park Seminary writes about. It's a character-based ethic, practice-centered. It's where we can't know ahead of time what all the this is right, that's wrong, with every question that's going to come our way, but we can know who we are and continue to grow up to be more and more like our dad, more like our big brother, so that we can discern as we go forward into these questions that come our way. I'm going to lean this way, not that way. Philip Jacob Spener, who wrote this Pia Desideri, out of which our pietist movement has grown about 300 years ago or so, he talks about how if you're questioning which way to go on a question, what it means, what you should do for your neighbor, he said, choose love. If you're not sure, choose mercy. And he says that the best way to practice love is by finding an enemy to love. Look for those people that are the hardest for you to love in your life. And I have a feeling this week will not be the most difficult week for us to pick those people out in. Pick those people and figure out, how can I love that person? How can I pray for that person? I'm going to practice love. He says, Spener, this is the way we can put to death more and more the old Adam within ourselves. It's always seeking vengeance. We don't want that. We want the fruit of the Spirit, right? We want to live leaning into God's mercy. That's the way we want to be. We want to live as children of God in this world. And we've got a choice to make. And I want to invite you. I don't know that I feel like this a lot of times in preaching a sermon, but I'm not sure I've ever preached a more important sermon in some ways. Because I desperately want us to live as children of God. Is that asking too much in this world? I mean, after all, we're singing about the glory of God, how much he loves us, how he's claimed us, how he's saved us. It's all marvelous. Now let's go live it. Let's believe his love enough to take the risk of loving our neighbor, even if the world around us is falling apart. To lend that money, give that money, to do good, not because we're going to get an immediate return on what we've given out, but because that's just who we are. Whoever wins on Tuesday, it doesn't change who we are. And I pray by God's grace that I may live more and more as the person that I really am. A child of God by God's grace. And I pray that you will too. To the glory of God. And to the good of our neighbors. We gather today around this wonderful table. And we remember together those who have gone before us. We thank God for them. We're thankful for those who passed on the faith to us and who witnessed to us a way of life that is different than this world's. By the grace of God, may we live it as God strengthens us even today.